This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, there is only an empty chair as Sean Levine is out for the day. Hopefully you are enjoying your 4th of July weekend as well. My name is Carrington Harrison, Rob Britton producing this thing on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor. The new text line number is 913-576-7610. So if you still have the old one, go ahead and delete that thing. I don't even know where your text will be going if you text that number. But I do know we will receive it if you text 913-576-7610. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will be joined by Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. He and some other colleagues of his over at PFF did a quick video on if Chris Jones will actually sit out. Here's what Sam had to say about it.
So I don't know that it's the smart move. I'm kind of with George that leaving that amount of money on the table is crazy no matter what way you cut it. But I kind of believe him because I think if ever there was a year for you to follow through with just not risking it, this would be the one.
So that's Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. He'll join the show coming up in 30 minutes. We'll get more in-depth look at Chris Jones, his worth, and if he will get that big money contract from the Kansas City Chiefs. Appreciate you listening to The Drive, again, on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Where I would like to start is, so yesterday I told you guys that I was buying stock in Breland Speaks. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I'm telling you the quarantine was good to Breland Speaks. He looks like he had been eating his vegetables. He looks like he had been taking his Flintstone vitamins. He looked like he was, quote, in the best shape of his life. And then today there was a picture circulating from the official New Orleans Pelicans Twitter page, and Zion Williamson looked absolutely ripped. Y'all remember Zion had that gut a little bit. Now, he wasn't big, but he had that gut a little bit. Zion looks like a lean, mean dunking machine today. He had the mask on and he was working out. This is as good as I've seen Zion look probably since he was a junior in high school from a physical aspect. This is my question to you guys, and Rob, I want to get your thoughts on this. As we are heading into baseball starting to kick in, and as we're heading into the workout starting, I saw a picture today with Danny Duffy. He had the Royals face mask on, and he was tipping his cap in a Lakers jersey. Who are we expecting to be the Breland Speaks of the Kansas City Royals? Who are we expecting to, be the Zion Williamson of the Kansas City Royals and in the best shape of their life? Because you know this, Rob. And text line 913-576-7610, you know this too. I'm not going by Carrington anymore. When you speak of me, address me as hashtag Hope Harrison or at C.Hope. I am selling nothing but positivity for the Kansas City Royals. But we all know here coming up in about 4 or 5 days, we're going to get that Jeffrey Flanagan report that a Royals player is in the best shape of his life. Who's the number one available pick for this? Because there's a couple of good names. I could see Jorge Soler being jacked. He added 15 pounds of muscle. Jorge Soler looks like a guy who could be an MVP candidate. I can see that story being written by Jeffrey Flanagan. I could see Salvador Perez being the best shape of their life candidate. Missed all of last season. Extra time this year to get your body right, get your mind right. I can see us looking at Salvi like, hold on, he didn't have those muscles back in 2014. He didn't have those muscles in 2015. He's in the best shape of his life. I don't think someone like Witt is eligible for this. Witt's always been in the best shape of his life. You start hanging around Alex Gordon and you wake up at 4 a.m. every day, you run 10 miles and you eat only egg whites, you're always in great shape. Gordon, eliminated from this conversation. Who are you throwing out as potential best shape of his life candidate? Because I think the two clear first round picks are either Jorge Soler coming off the season that he had last year or Salvador Perez. Those are my two guys.
All right, I got two guys as well. My first one, Adalberto Mondesi. Coming off injury, did all the rehab. He goes from good shape to, oh my goodness, he has muscles. He's got this six-pack suddenly. That's a guy, I mean, the rehab always gets best shape of my life season. So Adalberto Mondesi had rehab. He's my first choice. My second choice, a little bit of sleeper here. You know, we know gyms were closed during quarantine times. It's hard to get your workout in. So you got to know a guy who's country strong. Bubba Starling is my other guy. Bubba Starling is probably out chopping wood and built a barn, and that is how he got stronger. So if I'm picking two players that are going to catch best shape of my life, it's Bubba or Adalberto Mondesi.
See, it's funny you say that because best shape of your life guy is always two individuals. It's either the guy who was somewhat chunky or doughy the year before that then over the offseason has a new nutrition plan, has a new physical fitness plan, and then comes back looking ripped. Or it's the underperforming player that now has refocused himself, rededicated himself, and now looks poised to take that next step. Bubba Starling is actually a really strong name here. Like, you can see it very easy. You can see Bubba Starling's best shape. Came up last year for the first time, got off to a somewhat hot start, and then struggled the rest of the season. But now that you've gotten the taste of the major leagues, now that you've gotten the opportunity to come up with the bigs, you now are in the best shape of your life and poised to hit 280 with some pop this year and play a great glove. I remember sitting in this same seat across from Art Stewart, whose baseball mind is second to none in my opinion. He told us back in 2014, 2015, that he thought Bubba Starling was already defensively ready for the majors, but that it was going to take the bat some time. So if he's always been the defensive player and you're just waiting on the bat to come around, best shape of your life would coincide with, hey, Bubba might hit 280 this year. Bubba might hit some pop. He might be willing to now turn into the guy we thought he was going to be. Bubba's a really good pick for you, Rob, for best shape of your life.
He checks every single box. He got a little taste of the majors, but now he wants more, so he understands the workout. Every Royals person talks about how being around Alex Gordon, he is this leader by example because he doesn't eat pizza, he only eats egg whites, workout warrior, you know, face the franchise guy. He saw what Alex Gordon was for a year, so now he understands what it is. He's a local kid, and he checks every single box. And like I said, you can't go to the gym in these times, so you need to be able to do a workout and be creative with it. That's where Bubba, I think, also flourishes.
I like your other name in Adalberto Mondesi. If he's the guy that's in the best shape of his life and there's optimism around him, I think the expectation on him will somewhat go back to what it was in 2014 and 2015. I say this all the time with Adalberto Mondesi. Maybe it's the Patrick Mahomes effect. Maybe it's that we see other star young players in the major leagues. Man, the guys that really hit at 21, 22 in baseball are the guys that go on to be phenoms. The guys that sort of hit the ground running and they start in stride, those are typically your Ronald Acuna Juniors. Those are your Mike Trouts. Those are your Bryce Harpers. Those are the guys that are phenoms. That's your Francisco Lindor. I do think we've seen enough of Adalberto Mondesi to know he's not that. That doesn't mean that he can't be a productive player. That doesn't mean he can't be a guy who hits 280 with some pop and also shows you a great glove. Maybe he's a guy the batting average is a little bit higher, and I'm shortchanging him a little bit. The only thing I think we can say at this point about Adalberto Mondesi is he's not a phenom, and that's fine. You can be a great major league player without being one of those guys. So if he's the best shape of your life guy, if he's the Zion Williamson in this analogy, if he's the Breland Speaks who looks ripped, I'll take that. Because seeing a healthy 60 games focus, it is a sprint, not a marathon, Adalberto Mondesi, that's what gives you the chance to make the playoffs. I'm not here selling it that the Royals, I guarantee they're making the playoffs. I'm selling it where if the stars align and a couple of these guys take steps forward, whether it's Hunter Dozier, whether it's Adalberto Mondesi, whether it's Jorge Soler maintaining the play of last season, and then a couple of surprises happen, why can't the Royals shock the world and put themselves in a very unique situation given the circumstances of this season? So 913-576-7610, we're asking you, who appears to you like they could be the Royals candidate for best player or best shape of their life? Is it someone like Adalberto Mondesi? Is it Jorge Soler? I've seen a couple of Brad Keller texts. Brad Keller, Jake Junis wouldn't be bad options for best shape of your career. So text line 913-576-7610. I'd love to hear you guys' suggestions on that. Coming up next, we'll step aside. It would appear that the naming rights for Arrowhead have been sold. We'll explain it more coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Text line 913-576-7610. I'm with you, C.Hope. What about Ryan O'Hearn or Bubba Starling? Another text. Hey, Hope Harrison. I'm happy this is starting to catch on, man. Hey, Hope Harrison. A good name for the restaurant would be What a Harrison. They could have a plaque out in front in your honor. They could have a button that does the Kawhi laugh when pressed for the kids. Thank you, man. The text line, you know what? Everybody's got to be in a good mood today. It's basically Friday for us all. You look outside, it's a beautiful, sunshiny day. I'm in a great mood today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. He went on their website and said this about Chris Jones.
So I don't know that it's the smart move. I'm kind of with George that leaving that amount of money on the table is crazy no matter what way you cut it. But I kind of believe him because I think if ever there was a year for you to follow through with just not risking it, this would be the one.
So Sam Munson will be on the show coming up in about 15 minutes. Before we get to that, we have some breaking news with the Kansas City Chiefs. Earlier today, there was a report from the Sports Business Journal that the Chiefs had sold the naming rights to the field at Arrowhead Stadium. I want to be clear. It was not that they were going to change the name of Arrowhead Stadium. It was going to be that it is GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs have now come out and basically said, hashtag fake news. We have enjoyed a great relationship with GEHA, its leadership and its entire team for the past year, and are very excited about where this partnership is headed. As we have said when we first announced this relationship, there are important shared values between these two organizations and are aligned on thoughts, goals, and a vision of what a joint partnership will mean for the community. We have openly talked about the desire to find the correct field naming rights partner for Arrowhead Stadium for a number of years, and while field naming rights have always been an option to explore with GEHA as part of our strategic growth and expansion of our relationship, there has never been or will there be a field naming rights in place before this upcoming season. We feel that this message was clearly communicated, but unfortunately, a misleading and factually inaccurate headline has been written. Amidst all that is currently happening in our communities, neither the Chiefs nor GEHA are focused on a potential naming rights deal at this time. Our partnership remains very strong. It has exceeded our expectations in the first year, and we look forward to an exciting future together. You can't really come out with a more emphatic, we are not selling the naming rights for the field, than the Chiefs just did on their Twitter page. Naming the field at Arrowhead to me doesn't make any sense anyway. I don't really know the value that you would get from it if you're the sponsor. I don't know about you guys. I am not calling it whatever sponsor they name it. They could call it Whataburger. They could call it Barbecue Field. They could call it whatever they come up with field at Arrowhead Stadium. Whenever we talk about it on this show or other shows, whenever it's written in the newspaper, are people really going to be calling it Sprint Field or GEHA Field? No, it's Arrowhead Stadium. You guys know who live in Kansas City or the areas of surrounding Kansas City. We still call it Sandstone Amphitheater. Sandstone Amphitheater, Rob, has probably changed license holders, what, 6, 7, 8 times? I asked you earlier who the current one is. You said Verizon. It ain't been Verizon in 5 years.
Honestly, who is it? Do you know who it is off the top of your head?
I think it's Providence Medical Center. I think. I don't know for a fact, but I think it's Providence Medical Center Amphitheater is what I think that it is. Think about Starlight. Maybe there's some title sponsor with Starlight, but I don't care what they call Starlight Theater. It's always going to be Starlight Theater to me. Think about the Midland. Yes, the Midland has a title sponsor. It's the Midland. It seems like a waste of money. Now, I'm not in the business of telling these large companies what to do with their money. And if they're looking to sponsor somebody, sponsor me, and I'll help you get your value out of it. But calling it GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, for all of us to not call it what the sponsor is paying for and call it Arrowhead anyway, just seems like a misappropriation of funds during a time that I don't know if you should be misappropriating funds. Doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense to me. So I don't know why you would do that. But I understand why the Chiefs would want to do this. I understand why the Chiefs would want to squeeze every dollar out of it. I'm not faulting either side in this. Hey, go get paid in this. But it never made a whole lot of sense to me for this to be the case. So I am happy that it is not the case. And the Chiefs have shot down a report earlier today from the Sports Business Journal that they are going to name their field GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. This led me to a question that I want to get you guys' take on. 913-576-766. You can call up too if you'd like before we catch up with Sam Munson. Let's assume that someone has never been to Arrowhead Stadium. Let's assume they are from, pick a random place outside the metro. And they say, hey, I've always heard about Chiefs games. They seem like a lot of fun. Why should I go to Arrowhead? What's the best thing about going to Arrowhead? What would your answer be? Like, I was trying to think, is it the chop? Is it the beating on the seats at a critical third down? Is it the history? Is it the tailgating, the smell through the parking lot? Rob, as someone who grew up in this area the same way that I have, and text line 913-576-7610, how would you explain the Arrowhead experience to someone who has never experienced Arrowhead?
Well, first off, I'd say the highlight of the Arrowhead experience is the tailgating. I think that is what separates Arrowhead from any other stadium in the NFL. No one tailgates like Arrowhead does. And part of it's because of the enormous parking lot that's around the stadiums. Other stadiums in the country are downtown areas. It's impossible. I understand that if you're a fan of another team. But the tailgating is the separator from the average NFL stadium. And I actually had this situation come up last year. I had some family come in town. They wanted to go to a Chiefs game. We ended up going to Chiefs Texans game. And they said, what are the things we should look forward to? And what are we in for? And I said, Arrowhead Stadium has a very college football-like atmosphere in the fact that all the fans are into all the plays. It's not like there's football going on in the background and cool, like an NBA game. I'll check in the fourth quarter. Fans are engaged for four full quarters. But the thing that I really sold to my family when they came up, the tailgating. You got to get out there early. I'm not talking like we leave at 10:30, we get there at 11, and that's early. I'm talking we leave at 8:30, get there at 9 to be immersed in the experience. Everyone's cooking. Everyone's part of it. The fireworks go off, the whole deal. I would say the best part about Arrowhead is everything leading up until kickoff.
I'm with you. I think the best thing about Arrowhead is the 3 hours before the game. It's something about the smell of the parking lot and the energy around the parking lot that to me is the appeal of it. Now, I haven't been to a whole lot of road games. I haven't been to a lot of visiting places, but I've been to Mile High, for example. I would say people would put Mile High sort of on that list. Once you get in the stadium, the experiences are very similar. Now, they have their own traditions. You have your own traditions, but the in-stadium experience, if you go to one of those kind of stadiums, it is very similar. But I'm with you. The appeal of Arrowhead, what makes Arrowhead special to me is the community that exists before you walk in the turnstiles. Because that's consistent. It doesn't matter if the Chiefs are 2-14 or they just won the Super Bowl. The parking lot going to crack regardless. So I'm with you. And I'm curious to hear you guys on the text line, 913-576-7610. What makes Arrowhead so special? Because part of me doesn't want the naming rights to go away because part of what makes it cool is it hasn't fully turned corporate. I mean, it's a $1 billion company. It's always been a corporation. And yes, they've changed the rules over a little bit, but that's just society and how we've changed going from the 90s to modern times. Like it was never going to be the same experience tailgating in 2020 that it was in 1994. There aren't many things that have sort of preserved that feeling. But for the most part, if you want to go out there with your friends and drink and barbecue and have a good time and talk blank to each other and play bags and cornhole, you can still have an amazing time. You could say there was a time there that the party was better in the lot, or was better in the parking lot than it was at the game, and that it wasn't cool to go into the game. Back when the Chiefs were 5-11 and they were 2-14, the cool thing to do was stay on the outside and watch the game on television, save a little bit of money, and keep drinking for cheap. That was the appeal of the experience.
I'm going to say, we all have that friend that was like, hey, let's go to Arrowhead. And you're like, hey, we have tickets? You're like, nah, we're just going to sit in the parking lot. Everyone knows someone that has that person experience at one point or another in their life. 7-9 Chiefs? Nah, I'm not going in, but I have a TV, a generator hooked up. We're set out here. And to your point about the tailgating experience, it's great in September. It can be the AFC Championship game. It can be none out. The experience, the amount of layers you wear is different, but the experience is the exact same. And that's why the tailgating is so great.
That's not something I can condone what you just said right there. I can condone the tailgate experience in September. I can condone the tailgating experience in October. I ain't condoning it in January. At that point, eat at home. That's not the community I want to be a part of. What you're describing, I don't want to be a part of that community. I'm a part of that community for a preseason game. I'm a part of it from weeks 1 through 8.
When it's 84, you're about it?
Yeah. Once it starts getting cold, keep me as far away from this as possible. Now, I don't know nothing you're talking about right there. You speaking noise here on the drive, and I'm not going to condone this behavior. Text line 913-576-7610. Shout out to the tailgating at Tent City across from Lot D. That's the thing, too. People that are really about that tailgate life, they got a spot where you know where to go. You know where the bus is going to be. You know where the Kingdom Wagon's going to be. The crew's got their own little territories here where people come in. The people that really do it, I'm not talking about the people that get the little $5, $10 desktop grill. Y'all know the people that I'm talking about. The people with the 20-gallon drum grills and the people that bring buses. Those people, they got a spot marked, and you know where to go. And part of the appeal, too, is tailgate hopping. You know me. I'm good to grab a quick plate and dip out of there. Oh, hey, how's it going? Grab me a quick burger, and I'm out. I'm notorious for that. I might have invented that move, to be completely honest with you about it. I'll go to 7 tailgates in 30 minutes and eat 4 times. I invented that move. Coming up, we'll catch up with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. He said this about Chris Jones.
So I don't know that it's the smart move. I'm kind of with George that leaving that amount of money on the table is crazy no matter what way you cut it. But I kind of believe him because I think if ever there was a year for you to follow through with just not risking it, this would be the one.
That's Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. We'll go more in depth on Chris Jones and is he a threat to hold out with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. That's coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor, text in 913-576-7610. We were talking about what's the highlight of the Arrowhead experience. Good friend of the show, Sean Barber, he texted me and said that it is yelling, home of the Chiefs. Rob and I think that is tailgating. We're talking about this because there was a report that Arrowhead was considering changing the naming rights for it. It now appears that has been debunked by the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll head to the phone lines momentarily with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Here's what Solomon Wilcots, also of PFF, had to say about Chris Jones potentially sitting out.
It smells fishy. That's what it does. Chris Jones, first of all, someone should tell him the last person you should be taking contractual advice from is Le'Veon Bell. Secondly, you don't announce to a team, I plan to hold out, because you know what that does? It favors the team.
So that's Solomon Wilcots on Chris Jones. Let's head to the phone line right now and be joined by our next guest with stats and information so good that NFL teams pay for it. He is also a friend of the show, and it's backed by NBC Sports. Birth name is Samuel Munson, but on this show, he is Sammy. Sam, how you doing, man?
Doing good, guys. How about you?
Doing fantastic. Always good to catch up with you. Let's start with this, because here in Kansas City, I think there's a belief that Aaron Donald is the best defensive lineman in the NFL. I don't think too many people would fight that, and that Chris Jones is second when it comes to defensive tackles in the NFL. How do you guys have it ranked at that position?
Yeah, well, the first part, I think, is indisputable. I think Aaron Donald is the best defensive interior player in the NFL. I don't think it's particularly close to second. I think he's the best player in the NFL, period. But I think number two, it's like an open discussion. And I think those guys, players have been kind of taking it in turns to be the best non-Aaron Donald defensive interior player in the league. I think last season it was Chris Jones. I think the year before that it was Fletcher Cox. I think we've seen, you know, Cameron Hayward be right up there. I think every year a new guy sort of has a career year and emerges as maybe the next best guy. But I think it's Jones is definitely one of the next tier of guys that are right up there at the same sort of level, all trailing in Aaron Donald's wake.
So, Sam, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what do you make of this back and forth between the Kansas City Chiefs, because we heard from Mike Garofalo that the Chiefs have never even offered $20 million per to Chris Jones, which tells me that they don't value him maybe the same way that other teams would value him. What's your makeup of the back and forth right now between the Kansas City Chiefs and Chris Jones?
It's interesting. I think part of it is that they don't have a huge amount of money to play with, so they want to try and make this as cheap as humanly possible, if they even have designs on retaining him long-term at all. You know, there's a reasonable chance that the Chiefs are a smart organization. They understand what wins games, what makes things tick, and, of course, they have Patrick Mahomes, which is like a cheat code when it comes to, you know, salary cap management and roster makeup for the next year or so. So they get to kind of pick and choose where they're going to spend money. And I think there's a chance that they might not want to invest in a guy like Chris Jones, particularly when they've already given this big contract to Frank Clark. And, you know, I think, look, if you're looking at giving a big $100 million deal to Frank Clark or Chris Jones should get it every single day of the week. But they've already given that money to Frank Clark, so now you're talking about paying two of them. I think they probably don't want a huge part of that, and they're just trying to get this number as low as possible. And obviously Chris Jones wants to be paid what he's worth.
And Sam, that's why I've sort of argued, I don't know if it's reasonable to expect a team to give out the biggest contract in the history of the NFL, which they plan on doing with Patrick Mahomes, and then turning around and being the only team in the NFL to have two players make $20 million a year on defense and also on the defensive line. I think they already made their decision when they traded last year a first-round pick and gave that contract. I think the organization made their pick where they chose Frank Clark over Chris Jones long-term.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they put themselves in a position where they're almost it would be incredibly difficult to sign both those guys to this long-term deal and have it actually work out. And obviously, one of them is already committed. They've given the money. They've made the investment in Frank Clark. So it's difficult to find a way that they could give Chris Jones the kind of contract that he's going to want and make that work.
Right now, we're talking to Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. One thing I tried to inform people yesterday, and maybe you can do a better job than I did, is this situation is so different than Le'Veon Bell's. Le'Veon Bell played 1 year under the franchise tag, and then he held out the second year, where I don't know if Chris Jones has made enough money where he can simply say, no, I'm not going to show up because I'm good. He's only made $6.2 million in his NFL career. Someone's offering him $16 million to play for one season. To me, that means he has to show up.
Right. I mean, either way, I think the point anybody is making is that, look, the Le'Veon Bell thing didn't work out well for Le'Veon Bell. He lost money on that. About the only way you could say it worked out in his favor is that at least he didn't have to play for a year. He basically got the chance to take a pay cut and have a year off from the punishment of playing football at the next level. If that is appealing to you, then sure, that's the right way of going. If maximizing the money you get is appealing to you, then that is absolutely not the way to go about doing things. And you're right. If Chris Jones could afford to sit out for a whole year, he would be an unusual case, because most players do not, you know, save with that kind of contingency in mind. We saw that when the prospect of a lockout in 2011, you know, NFL players do not put the money aside for a rainy day, by and large. A lot of them, the second the paychecks stop coming in, they have real problems. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it would be a surprise if he did have the kind of money available where he could easily sit around for a year and not play. Even if he couldn't, I don't think it's the way of maximizing the dollar figure he's going to get.
I know I'm asking you to look into a crystal ball and guess, so if you don't have a solid answer, I certainly won't hold it against you. What are the odds that you think here in the next 2 weeks Chris Jones signs a long-term deal with the Chiefs?
I think it's pretty minimal. I don't think the Chiefs are interested in making that happen for any kind of dollar figure that Chris Jones is going to be happy with. And I don't see him, you know, coming all the way down in price. He's too good. He's too valuable a commodity to sell himself on the Chiefs. So this one looks like it's heading in a, you know, in a fairly ugly direction, I think.
Right now, we're talking to Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus for a couple more minutes. Last question here on Chris Jones, and I want to get your take on Cam Newton before I let you off the phone here. Let's say that this turns into a Clowney situation from last year, and let's say that he is steadfast on, I will not play for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. You have to trade me or you are going to waste a franchise tag. If we got to that point, what do you think Chris Jones would be worth in a trade?
I mean, Chris Jones should be worth a first-round draft pick. Like I say, he's got an argument to be the best interior player, not named Aaron Donald. He's young. He's good. He's capable of taking over games. He rushes the passer well. He also defends the run pretty well. He's as good as you're going to get at that position, even if you would have to give up, you know, factor in the fact that he needs paying. You need to give him a big long-term contract. I think it's still worth a first-round draft choice to get a player that's that good.
Sam, I'm curious your thoughts on Cam Newton, who signed with the New England Patriots. How much more do you think Cam Newton has left in the tank? And I think there is a pretty much a consensus that the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. The Ravens are the second best team in the AFC. Who do you have as the third?
Yeah, the first part, I think, is the great unknown. We just don't know what his status is like physically, how much those injuries have all taken their toll, you know, how close to game ready he is, regardless of the Instagram hype videos and the workout clips. We're not going to know that until the season starts, and that's the big question mark, because obviously a healthy Cam Newton is a really good player, a quality starter, and a player that provides unique problems to defenses. So I'm excited to see what Cam Newton in this Patriots offense looks like. But that is the great unknown, is how healthy he is and how much of himself he can actually be anymore. As for third best team in the AFC, it's really tough. I think those are the two teams that are the obvious quality teams, and I think we're going to wait to see which team emerges. I think Buffalo is a really good roster top to bottom, but Josh Allen is their quarterback, and that's a big question mark. The Patriots, obviously, we've seen them be good in the past, but we don't know what Cam Newton is going to look like in this offense. And then it wouldn't surprise me if another of the teams in the AFC North emerged, you know, the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger coming back.
That is my guy, Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus, joining us to talk about Chris Jones and how likely it is that he would hold out with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sam, always good talking to you, man. Take care.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
That's our guy, Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus, joining us on The Drive. I thought he said a lot of really good things there. I do think he's right when it comes to the third team in the AFC. I think we're trying to pigeonhole an answer when I don't know if there is an answer. If we're talking about it from a roster standpoint, I think it's clearly the Kansas City Chiefs and then the Ravens. And then at that point, man, you can flip a coin and we can make a strong argument for seven other teams in the AFC. So I think the correct answer is I don't know and we'll see, but nobody likes that answer. I would say right now it's the Buffalo Bills, but you can definitely make the case for some other teams. We just continue, Rob, to talk to more and more people about Chris Jones, about the salary, about their ability to sign him to a long-term deal. I haven't heard one person that has exhibited any level of optimism that this is going to get done here in 13 days. Let's point out, this cannot go up to the beginning of the season like Patrick Mahomes' deal. Patrick Mahomes is in a very different situation. They can wait until the minute before he takes the field against the Houston Texans in week one and then have him sign the agreement. That's not the case with Chris Jones. If he doesn't sign this deal by July 15th, he cannot sign one this season. So it's a race to try to get something done. If you are Jones and you really want to stay long-term in Kansas City, you got to come to the realization that you're not going to get the money that you think you're worth. At least not to the Chiefs. If you want to get that money from the Atlanta Falcons, that's cool. You got to do that next year in free agency. But the unfortunate situation for Chris Jones and where he finds himself this season and this offseason is you're stuck. You're stuck making $16 million. Now, I know that's a lot of money, but if you're an NFL player and you think you're worth $60 guaranteed and you're only going to get $16, I can understand how you're upset by that. I can get it. And there's no guarantee where this season, if you get hurt and something drastic happens, the rest of that money just goes poof and you may never get it back. So I understand. That's where I sympathize with the player. But, man, the Players Association had a chance to change this in the CBA, and they didn't fight for it. They did not fight for the removal of the franchise tag. That would have been one thing I fought for if I was the players. That would have been a big win for the 1% of the 1% of players. They always fight for a greater piece of the pie, and they rarely fight for more control and leverage over their employer. So Chris Jones doesn't have much. He's going to have to do what a majority of us have to do at our job. You go ask for a raise, boss tells you no, you shut up and go to work, or, well, in our situation, we can go find a new job. He can't really go find a new job, and that's just the situation that he finds himself in. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, to talk about the baseball's plan of starting here in a couple of weeks. We'll also get to Rob's rankings. And first, let's talk about Rob Manfred, who went on the Dan Patrick Show, who does a very terrible job of speaking in public. I'll explain what I mean coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, to talk a little bit of baseball. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll get into a brand spanking new Rob's Rankings. Rob, you know what? I'm going to let you go ahead and do what we in the biz, as I like to call it, give us a tease. What's today's Rob Rankings going to be about? I'm sure you cooked up some hot fire. What's today's Rob Rankings going to be about?
Well, as you know, we're about to enter a holiday weekend, 3 days, celebration abound, including the 4th of July. And I understand fireworks shows across the year getting canceled, so I did the top 10 things to eat at your 4th of July cookout.
Oh, I can't wait for this one. A brand new Rob's Rankings coming up in about 5 minutes. You don't want to miss it. I'm here telling you that you do not want to miss a brand spanking new Rob's Ranking. So the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, he went on the Dan Patrick Show. I am here to tell you that every time Rob Manfred talks in public, he sounds goofy. Every single time that he does an interview or speaks publicly on the issues between the players and the owners, he puts his foot in his mouth and he just couldn't help himself on the Dan Patrick Show.
Look, I think the most important thing to our fans is that we're going to make every attempt to get the game back on the field. You know, I know some people have talked about longer seasons, 62 short. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus.
So I just want to point out what Rob Manfred said on the Dan Patrick Show. You guys remember that 2 months where they kept going back and forth and how the players kept saying, hey, we want to play 114 games. Hey, we want to play 85 games. Hey, we want to try to play as many games as possible so we can try to recoup as much money as humanly possible. You remember that time? And how people were getting mad at the players. Like, you're telling me you can make $3 million to play a kid's game? How could you not take that? Remember that when you guys were all mad at the players? The commissioner of baseball just said, yeah, we were never going to accept more than 60 games. That's the most we were going to pay the players for was 60 games. So you were never interested in having a somewhat legitimate season. It was always going to be shortened because of the virus. They were never going to play a full 162. They could have played 100. They could have played at least 81 and gave you a 50% of the season. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, just went on one of the most popular sports radio shows in the country and confirmed that the owners never operated in good faith. If this isn't enough to get you firmly on the side of the players, I just don't know what more evidence you would have needed. The players tried to give you more baseball. If it had been up to the players, they'd be playing games by now. We'd be having Royals baseball to talk about today. We'd be talking about a big-time series over the weekend that you could watch with your family or listen to on the radio down at the lake. But no, the owners were not for it. 60 was the only season they were going to accept. How can you support that group of people? I'm not on their side. You know I'm on team players through and through here. But if this isn't a grievance for the Players Association, I don't know what is. They never operated in good faith at any point. This entire plan was about getting the players to play as many games as possible for as less as possible. And the players were never going to agree to that. So the owners, by I don't know what metric, basically came up with this 60-game number that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to anybody. And that's the season. So if you wanted more baseball, Rob Manfred just announced and confirmed that was never part of the plan. They were never going to play 72. They were never going to play 81. They were never going to play 100. This year's 2020 baseball season was always going to be 60 games or less. And that's not right. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. But first, oh, without further ado, it's time to get to a brand spanking new Rob's Rankings.
Well, as I said earlier, today's Rob Rankings, the top 10 foods you get at the cookout this weekend on the 4th of July. Here we go. Number 10, chips. There's a lot of variation within chips, but chips are the perfect cookout food because, you know, they're not hot, they're not cold. You can just kind of munch on them all day. Number 9, corn on the cob. I really enjoy corn on the cob more than I probably should. Corn on the cob is an excellent cookout food. Number 8, pie. I'm not here to discriminate about what kind of pie you guys like, whether it's cherry, apple, key lime, do your thing. Pie is an excellent cookout dessert.
Most pies are terrible.
Whoa. Pie is probably the best dessert, for being honest.
Not even close.
I mean, it's pie, then ice cream, then cookies.
If I don't even know if it's on the Mount Rushmore of desserts.
Boy, that's a hot take. Number 7, coleslaw. I get that I'm alone on this one. Coleslaw is amazing. It's the perfect little acidic side to your heavy main courses. Coleslaw comes in number 7. Number 6, any beer in a red Solo cup. I don't care what you're putting in a red Solo cup. Red Solo Cup beers are just fantastic. They're perfect for the cookout.
It is something about that Red Solo Cup that just makes the drink a little bit better. I don't know what they do. I don't know the power that the Red Solo Cup has, but it doesn't matter if you're drinking beer. Maybe you're making yourself a nice little spirit or cocktail. It does always hit different in the Red Solo Cup.
And it was Red Solo Cups are so popular, there's a whole song about them.
Mm.
The song's terrible, but it does exist. Number 5, a burger. You know, burger would be higher on the list, but I feel like most grill guys at a cookout can't hit the burger temperature just right. It seems to be more medium well than the medium I like, but it is still a burger is still better than no burger. Number 4, bomb pop. This is the only time as an adult it's acceptable to eat a bomb pop. Red, white, and blue popsicle, 4th of July, that's the home run swing.
I don't think bomb pops get enough respect in the game, to be completely real with you about it. I don't know if it gets enough respect.
We don't give Bomb Pop its proper credit.
Not nearly enough.
We talked about this with Sean a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week. I always feel bad for the Bomb Pop. When the ice cream guy comes by, no one gets the Bomb Pop because it's available in stores. But the Bomb Pop is fantastic.
Very fantastic.
Number 3, brats. Brats are just so good. They're thick. They're filling. Everything about a brat is good. Number 2, ribs. Ribs, much like the burger, if the grill master or the person running the barbecue or cookout messes it up, it's a disaster. But if you're someone who knows what they're doing, ooh, ribs hit. And number 1, the American staple, the hot dog,
what?
Is the perfect cookout food.
Hold on, let me understand. Turn the music down. I don't even know if you're worthy of having this music now. You're telling me you're at the cookout,
mm-hmm.
barbecue, whatever it is, and somebody is grilling up some dogs on the top or the bottom, and they got the ribs sitting on the top, and the ribs come out at the same time that the dogs come out. You're telling me that you're picking up the dog over the rib?
First off, I'm picking up both. That let the record show. But my point is,
I'm leaving the hot dogs to the kids. This is where I am. I don't know how many of you this was your childhood. In my home, at the barbecue or at the family gatherings that we had, the adults got the chicken and the ribs, and the kids got the dogs and the burgers. So there were two little aluminum foil tins.
Mm-hmm.
The kids' food was in one, and then the adult food was in the other. If you were a kid and you had a wing on your plate or a rib on your plate, you was getting cussed out. It was that simple. It was going to be an issue. That's what it was going to be. It was going to be an issue if that was the case. I also couldn't get the real soda. That's where we got the vests. That's where we got the Et series. That's when we got our Dr. Thunder and Mr. Lightning and those kind of drinks. That's when we got those little rainbow juices in the plastic where you got to poke a hole at the top. So we couldn't even get the official juices the same way as everybody else. So you're telling me I had to endure that kind of behavior for the first 16 years of my life to now, as an adult, pick up a dog when there's ribs and chicken around? Hell no. Put one of those steaks on my plate. Give me some of those ribs. Let me cash app you $10 because I appreciate what you did for me. But no, I'm not eating hot dogs anymore. I've left that behind. I'm not eating any barbecue hot dogs anymore.
I mean, I'm not talking about the Aramark, probably moldy hot dogs. We're talking like the grill guy. And to my point, ribs can get messed up. Joe from down the street is doing the ribs. You get your rib, you're like, oh, Joe missed the mark. Joe is not as good as Joe's Can't See Barbecue. He's not as good as Gates. So you're like, ugh, this is just kind of all right. He missed it. Hot dog, he can't really mess up. As long as he puts it on the grill for more than 5 minutes, it's done. It's edible. So just the variance in quality in ribs, you know, it could be a turnoff if it's messed up.
Text line 913-576-7610. But C-Dot, you're a pops now. You get the big piece of the chicken. Oh, I was getting the big piece of chicken when I became an adult. Like, I would say that's when life really starts to open up. When your parents don't look at you as a kid anymore and they start to look at you more as the equal. I'm not saying I don't got that same respect and reverence for my mom. And if I don't get out of line, she won't still punch me in the chest the way she did if I was 11 years old and started acting up. But now I don't have to ask to go get the chicken. I don't have to ask to go get the rib. It's just understood that I'm an adult.
And you're getting
it.
I'm
not one of the kids. I don't have to worry about sitting at the card table on Thanksgiving. I can sit with the grown folks and I can be part of the grown folk conversation. I don't know if they say this in white families, but in black families, they say to stay at a grown folks' business. I am now part of the grown folks. I can be in grown folks' business. So I've been getting the big piece of chicken for a while. And I'm telling you that I endured those hot dogs and burnt burgers for long enough that I'd be damned now as an adult that's all I'm putting on my plate. No. I need those two ribs. I need that steak. Give me those classic Lay's and give me the actual Sprite and leave the fruit punch for the kids because I want the real soda here. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we have a new drive draft that we'll do with Jay Binkley. That's coming up in 30 minutes. But first, stick around. We'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. That's coming up on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.